This presentation is brought to you by iawaken.org, a not-for-profit organization. We hope you enjoy the presentation. Please observe the copyright terms to which you have agreed.
Okay, are you all there?
Yes.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Let's start then with the Shiurim, with the Gemara. And I'm assuming that you've all got the first page of Kiddushin open in front of you, that you've had a chance to look at it, at least at the Mishnah and the Rashi, and at least the first Tosfos. So we'll start. It's very experimental, as I've said. I don't think that I certainly haven't done this before, using this type of technology and giving a shiur to nobody actually sitting in front of me. And I don't know if you've participated in one. So we'll have to play around with it and try and perfect it as we go along. And as I mentioned, we'll take questions and comments at the end, so that people who want to listen can do so without interruption, although now and again there might be a need for you to clarify something, or I might invite a bit of interactivity so that it's not too passive. Starting with the Mishnah itself, who's just joined us?
Yeah, no, it's me. I couldn't get in on Skype.
Okay, so perhaps you can talk to David afterwards and see how he did it.
Yeah.
But good to have you back with us. Okay, so then let's kick off. And starting with the opening Mishnah, and one of the things that we've talked about, and I've talked about in recent Shiurim, some of them on the internet, is to be able to learn with a combination of right and left brain, with a little bit of humor, to bring a human element into the learning so that it becomes alive and one's actually able to grasp the multidimensional aspect of it. And if we do that with the first Mishnah, then the very opening phrases of the first Mishnah become almost weird. They really are strange, both from a conceptual point of view and halachically. So if we say, Ha'isho niknes b'shlosho drochim, a woman is acquired in three ways, or b'sholosh drochim. A woman is acquired in three ways, v'koina es atzmo b'shtei drochim, and she acquires herself in two ways, or any one of three ways, and any one of two ways. And right at the beginning, conceptually, it's just weird that the Masechta Kiddushin should start with something so commercial as the idea of a kinyan, and particularly a kinyan kesef, which is the first one. So conceptually, there's difficulty with the idea of kinyan kesef, just the mere idea of acquiring another human being other than in slavery. What does that really mean? And is that what marriage is? Is it an acquisition? And what exactly is being acquired and by who? And halachically, it's also a little bit complex because we're talking about the erusin stage at the moment. We're talking about the first phase of marriage, and marriage is made up of two parts, the erusin and the nisuin. The erusin, in English, we call the betrothal, which is the actual giving of the ring, as we do today, the kinyan, and the first two brachas that we say under the chuppah, although they don't need to be under the chuppah. And the second one is nisuin, and as you know, between erusin and nisuin, there used to be a one-year period of waiting, and during that period, now that there's only a few minutes in between the one and the other, but during that period, the woman is forbidden to anybody else, so all the isurim of arayas apply to her from the moment of the kinyan, but his rights in her only start after the nisuin. There are no rights that the baal has, midoraisa, they would be permitted physically to one another, midorabona, not even that. And so one has to ask from a halachic perspective, Ha'isho niknes, to who? The Meiri says, Ha'isho niknes la mekadesh, to the person who's being mekadesher. And we can understand why it's even necessary for him to say that. But Rashi's take is a little bit different, and Rashi says very clearly and powerfully, Ha'isho niknes la ba'alo. The woman is acquired to her ba'al. That means from the time of Kiddushin, from the moment that he performs the kinyan, he becomes her baal. This is a transaction, and there is an acquisition, and the person acquiring is called a baal. From that moment on, he's called a baal. He's not just called an orus. At that moment, he's called a baal. And we need to understand, what is he a Baal of? What is his Baalus? What has he owned? What has he acquired? What rights has he acquired at that particular time? I can understand the Meiri calling him HaMekadesh, because he has been Mekadesh her, and that has made her also to the rest of the world. So then I understand the use of which is nicknamed to the Mekadesh, in as much as she's no longer permitted to anybody else. But to call him the Baal, which Rashi goes out of his way to say, we need to explore, what is he the Baal of? What has he actually acquired in this process? Because Rashi seems to be suggesting something, seems to be hinting at something more than just explaining the Mishnah. And the word Baal, of course, is different from the word Odin. There are only two types of ownerships we have in human beings, and the one is Ishus, and the other is Avdus, marriage and slavery. The owner of a slave is not called a Baal, he's called an Odin, and the husband of a woman is called a Baal. So it's interesting that for some reason there is some kind of difference. It's Baalus. What exactly does that Baalus mean? And that's something that we have to look into as we move into it. But if we go a little bit further in that and say, and here I want to bring in the main point that comes out of the Tosfos, and that is the use of the He HaYediyah, the use of the definite article in the Ha'isho. Ha'isho, the woman. Almost implying that when we're talking about Isho in this sense, we're not talking about the generic women, you know, people of the female gender. That's not what we're talking about. Ha'isho seems to be referring to a halachic concept called Isho. What is that halachic concept called Isho, and where is its origin? And Tosfos says, the reason he says Ha'isho, in the second thin line of Tosfos, you'll see that V'yesh lo'ema, the hocho akrokoi. Here that the Gemara is talking specifically about a woman mentioned in the Torah, Kolomo, Ko Isho Hamevureres Befosuk. That woman that is defined clearly in the posuk, that concept of Isho that is defined, Ashkechanu Isho Mevureres Bikro Gabi Nesuim, because we find a very clearly defined Isho when it comes to marriage in the Psukim, Dichtiv Ki Yikach Ish Isho. And that's the posuk that we're going to be working with today. Ki Yikach Ish Isho. There we have the definition of an Isho, and it's that Isho, Ho Isho, this Isho spoken about in the Torah, this Isho defined in the posuk of Ki Yikach Ish Isho. What is she? And how does she become an Isho? What converts her into that concept from being an ordinary woman, a penuyo, somebody who's available, into Isho, into a wife? Really, what is that conversion? We say Ha'isho Niknes, that she's actually acquired. And there's some form of kinyan that takes place that makes also, what is it that he acquires, and what way is he a Baal? So that we'll see from Rashi a little bit further on. When it says V'koino es atzmo, that she can acquire herself, what does she acquire? When she acquires herself either through a get or through the death of the Baal, what is she acquiring, says Rashi? She acquires her rights over herself to make a choice to marry another man. So from that Rashi, where we see what it is that she reacquires when she gets a get or when the husband passes away, we get a sense of what the husband acquired. So Ha'isho Niknes Labala, and Isho is Niknes Labala, what has he acquired? He has acquired from her free choice to choose who to marry. So up until the time of the Kinyan, she can decide to be with anybody she wants. She can decide to marry anybody she wants. From the moment of the Kinyan, she can no longer do that. And if at any time during his lifetime she is going to want to be with another man, he has to release her. He has to give her a get. She has to be koina herself again. So now we're getting a little bit of a clearer picture of this Isho, Ha'isho, that woman talked about in the posuk of Ki Yikach Ish Isho. If a man should take a woman, that Isho, how is she nicknamed? She is nicknamed, a kinyan takes place, which makes him a Baal and she an Isho. What is he a Baal of? He becomes a Baal over her right to marry anybody else. That's what he becomes Baal of at that time. I just want to check in with you, and if there's anybody who has any need for clarity right now, before we go moving into this, anything brief, please, have any question on that?
Ephraim Shore.
Hello, Ephraim. We've just started, and happy you're joining us.
Thank you. I'm terribly sorry for being late.
I
appreciate it.
Good to have you. Ephraim is from Santa Monica, California. And we've got people here from different parts of the States and South Africa and Israel. Anybody with any question on what we've just covered?
No.
Okay, then let's move a little bit further. The next thing that we want to look at is this idea of the Kinyan Kesef, because that's where we're going to be focusing a lot of attention during the first part of the Gemara, the fact that she's acquired with money, which, as we said at the opening, is one of the glaring ideas in this Mishnah, the fact that one purchases something, that in acquiring the rights or in becoming a Baal and converting an ordinary woman into that concept in the Torah called Isha, that the way that is done is with a kinyan. Well, that's understandable that it's done with a kinyan. But a kinyan kesef sounds so crass. What am I buying? What am I purchasing? And we see further on in the Gemara, when the Gemara discusses whether chalipin will work, whether you can barter instead of paying cash, and the Gemara says, no, women won't give themselves for less than a pruto, and chalipin can work with less than a pruto. So we see, in a sense, there is some connection between the quantum of the purchase and the dignity of the woman. Yet for a pruto, we're willing to do that. What does that mean? A pruto is such a small amount of money. How is it possible that we can acquire the rights and become a baal with a pruto? What is the nature of that kesef, and where does that come from? Which is what we have to look at and see as well. And here we go into the Rashi, Bekesef v'shtar mefarish bevraisa. So if you look at the fourth line of Rashi, Bekesef v'shtar mefarish bevraisa b'gemora, the Gemara on Daf He brings a braisa that says, Noisein lo kesef or shove kesef. He gives her money, or the value of money, as the Mishnah itself says here. The Omer lo, and he says to her, Harei at mekudeshesli. You are hereby mekudeshes to me. We'll see still what that word mekudeshes means. So what we see here is there are two parts to the Kinyan Kesef. The Kinyan Kesef is, number one, the handing over of an item of value. And number two, there is a phrase that has to be said. There's a formula that has to be said. And we'll see further on in the Gemara that there's quite a lot of particularity about the accuracy of that formula and exactly how it's said and who it is said. So there seems to be an element of amiro, of statement, as well as an element of giving over of kinyan. So what do we see? That ki yikach, let's go back to the posuk. Ki yikach ish isho, because that's the focus of our attention. How does a woman become an isho if a man is loikeach her? Ki yikach ish, if a man takes a woman, it's almost, we've got to read the pasuk as saying, ki yikach ish, if a man takes a woman, isho, she becomes a woman. She becomes a wife. She becomes an isho. And we're looking at that isho. There's a kinyan that makes that isho. What is the nature of that kinyan? We're going to see in the Gemara, and we'll go into it in more detail, that the word kicho has an element of kinyan kesef. That when we talk in the Gemara, when we talk about a loikeach, in the Zikin, when we talk of and say it in the Zikin, when we talk about a lokeach, we're talking about a buyer. So in the word kicho, there is a transactive meaning and a very commercial side to it. And we've got to keep cognizant of that as we work through the Masechta, just to realize that there is one side of this transaction which is almost commercial in its nature. He gives her something in return for something else. He gives her kesef, and she gives him, gives up to him the right to marry anybody else. And that's an actual kind of commercial exchange implied in those words, kicho, that ki yikach means if a man acquires a woman by means of a kinyan, and specifically that pasuk is talking about a kinyan kesef, a monetary kinyan. And then Rashi adds, but he's also got to say, v'omer lo. And that the Brisa says. So somehow, the Brisa seems to be learning in the word kicho that there is not only an act of giving, but that there's an act of statement as well. And that's very strange, because there's nowhere else that I can think of where for a kinyan there needs to be a statement. There needs to be intent. We understand that there needs to be intent, but where does there need to be a formula other than in Nedarim, Nazirus, and Hekdesh? If a person makes a neder, there's got to be a specific formula. He's got to articulate it verbally in a way that is understood. If a person takes Nazirus onto himself, he's got to articulate that using specific words. If a person is makdish something, well, one can be makdish something mentally, just without words, but if one does use words, those words have effect and those words have to be accurate. But where do we have a case of kinyan, particularly a kinyan kesef, where there's also a need for the articulation of words, and what exactly is the role of those words, and where does that come from? I'm going to pause here just for a moment. If anybody wants to suggest any understanding or insight that you have as to what you think that role of Hare at Mekudesh Sli, why is that needed? Anybody want to suggest anything?
I was going to suggest a parallel to Bikurin, which is another scenario where a statement is required.
Is that Reuven?
Yes.
And what would the parallel be?
No, I'm saying that would be another...
Another example of where there's a need for statement.
Right.
Yeah, good. But in Kiddushin, any sense of what the role is of the statement? What is he saying and why does he need to say it? If it's absolutely clear to everybody around that that's what it is, they're standing in shul under a chuppah, everybody's been gathered, they've received invitations to the wedding of Chaim to Sora, and hundreds of people are there, and he stands under the chuppah and gives her a ring and says nothing. And she accepts the ring and they're clearly very happy. Why is that not a kiddushin? What's missing?
Could it be, you can acquire a maidservant too. I mean, it sounds ridiculous, but, you know, just to distinguish that you're not acquiring her as anything else but a wife.
So since they're different forms of acquisition, we want to have clarity in the fact that this is a specific type of acquisition, which is the acquisition of issues. That's beautiful. And let's explore that a little bit. There are two possibilities of understanding this. The one way that I've wanted to try and understand it, but I'm hitting a lot of difficulty with it, is to say that really two things are taking place. And we need to be working parallelly all the time. And we see that by the very terms that are used. The fact that Ha'isho Niknes tells us there's a transactive kinyan taking place. And whatever that is and how that works, we'll see as the Gemara unfolds. But there's a kinyan taking place. And yet there's the element of kiddushin. So we're using two phrases. And the Gemara starts off, as you know, questioning why does it use Ha'isho Niknes? Why doesn't it say Ha'isho Miskadeshes? Why the Loshen Kiddushin, the name of the Masechta, is kiddushin, yet it starts off with the idea of Niknes. So I wondered whether there are two things happening simultaneously. There is a commercial transaction, which is the kinyan, and there is a kind of a neder. There is a kind of, we call it a chalos of something. Something actually, the woman is changing her status. She's becoming a new concept. She's becoming a new halachic concept with a whole lot of new halachas that did not apply to her a moment before. And that's not just a kinyan. That's not just a transfer of some kind of ownership of rights. But there's been a change, like there is with neder. When a person makes a neder, the object on which he's made the neder transforms, it converts into a different halachic concept. When a person becomes a nazir, he's a different human being. He transforms, there are different halachas that apply to him. And so when something is made hektish. So I was, I'm wondering to myself, and I'm not completely off it yet, perhaps you'll give it some thought. And by the way, if a good way to communicate in between the shiur would be by email, so please feel free to drop me an email at rabbi.lappin@iawaken.org with comments, which I can then work on during the week and share again when we get back together. But so you might give some thoughts to that. Who's that being?
It's Malcolm speaking.
Malcolm, yes.
If you have a look in Rabbi Elchanan Wasserman, he actually says exactly what you're saying, that there are two dimensions over here, and he questions which one, at what point does it happen? In other words, is the Kadesh is dependent on the Kenyan or the Kenyan on that?
Okay, beautiful. I'll have a look at that. So understanding of Rebbe Chanan is also that there are two things happening simultaneously.
Yeah.
Who's just joined us? Anybody just joined us? Okay, maybe somebody just left us. So the question then, so that's the one idea. My difficulty with it that I'm struggling a little bit is where do we see this? Where does it come from? All we have is ki kachish isho. Where does it come from? The two things are happening simultaneously. Why can you not do one without the other? Which one causes the, as Malcolm was saying, which one is the initiator and which one follows? So I still want to work with that a little bit. But the line that Baruch Ber takes in explaining Reb Chaim is a little bit different, and that's more aligned with what Aviva was suggesting. And that is that there's only one thing happening here, and that's a Kinyan Kiddushin. That's what's happening. A Kinyan Erusin, a Kinyan Kiddushin is what is happening. The man is acquiring, is becoming a Baal. The woman is becoming an Isha. And the means of that happening is by virtue of a Kinyan, which in this case, Kinyan Kesef. For this particular Kinyan to work, there needs to be more than just the action. And that's a Gzeres HaKosuv, explains Reb Baruch Ber, in the name of Reb Chaim. And the Gzeres HaKosuv we'll see in the Brayso on Daf Hey, but it's basically that from Ki Yikach Ish Isha, that a man has to do an act of Kicho, he has to take her, and Reb Baruch Ber says that the Gzeres HaKosuv here is you need him to give something and him to say something. That's the Gzeres HaKosuv. And I'll read to you from Reb Baruch Ber where he says, the Gabi Kiddushin Made Ba'inan Das Habal Ein Zeh Rak Mishum Din Kinyan Kemode Ba'inan Gabi Mekach Omemka Das. The role of intent and mindfulness on the part of the husband of the Baal is not the same as in other cases of Kinyan, where it's just you just need intention for the Kinyan. Ela Milvad Din Das Lasos Kinyan Kemo Bishare Kinyonim. But here, in addition to the normal din, where the kohen needs to have intent, so once again, even in commercial transactions, if the kohen, if the person acquiring has no intent to acquire, the kinyan isn't chal. So you do need intention. But here you need something more than that. But in an bezer das of the baal b'chdeshi yemay sekicho. Here, unless there is das of the baal, not only does the kinyan not work, but it's in fact not a may sekicho. This is not called kiyikach. And without his da'at, there isn't a ma'aseh kiddushin at all. It's not as if they're two things and one without the other. It's one thing. It's a ma'aseh kiddushin. We'll see that in the Rambam as well. And he adds, the Baruch Ber adds, based on a ritvo on Davov, which I've not yet seen, but inan gam ma'aseh kicho didei, we need his act of kicho, that's the key piece. And therefore, there needs to be a manifestation of his intent, either in the action or in the words. Some way we've got to be able to see from what he does or what he says what his intention is. And Reb Baruch Ber explains that umdana is not sufficient. Umdana means that we project, we kind of extrapolate, we figure out, based on the context, we figure out what his intention is. So let's go back to my example. Hundreds of people are gathered together, the chuppah's up, people have been invited to a wedding. He stands under the chuppah, the rov is there, the edim are there. He gives her a ring but says nothing. On the basis of umdana, we can say we know that this means that it's a wedding. We can extrapolate, we can contextualize, and we can figure out what's happening. That's not good enough. That's not ki yikach. Ki yikach requires that he does something or says something that clarifies and articulates his intention to be lokeach, that woman is an isha. So that's how Reb Baruch Ber. I'll look at the Reb Chon and see if it's different from that, because Reb Baruch Ber is based on Reb Chaim. It might be that they're explaining him in two slightly different ways. But what Reb Baruch Ber is saying is different from the way I originally thought that there are two things happening here. Reb Baruch Ber is making it very clear that there's one thing happening here. It's a maaseh lekicho. It's an act of kinyan, and that kinyan requires more than just intent. It also requires the manifestation of intent. And I would just like to show you in the Rambam that I think that from the Rambam one has to learn that way too, because the Rambam, right at the beginning of Hilchus Ishus, says, Kivan shenosno Torah, once the Torah was given, Nitztavu Yisrael, the Jewish people have been commanded, Sheim yitzeho ish liso isho, that if a woman, man should want to marry a woman, Yikne oiso techilo bifnei edim, he must perform a kinyan beforehand in front of edim. So he's saying there needs to be a kinyan, and that kinyan needs to be in front of Edim. The Gemara learns that further on from Dovid Ovid Shivamon. And they need to be Edim. If they need to be Edim, the role of the Edim is they must be able to see that this was an act of kicho. So part of the kinyan, as Rashi says, there has to be the giving of the ring, and there has to be the statement, that which articulates and that which clarifies. And then the Rambam goes on to say, in halacha beis, the likuchim elu mitzvahs ashishil torahim. This likuchim is a mitzvah of the Torah. You can do it in one of three ways. The likuchim elu hein hanikroin kiddushin, or erusin. And this act of lekicha, again, he uses the word lekicha, so he defines kiddushin. Kiddushin is an act of lekicha. What is lekicha taking? Lekicha means giving, performing a kinyan in the presence of Edim, and Rashi adds, based on the Brisa, being able to articulate your intention so that the Edim can give evidence that they saw the act of likuchin. They actually saw the lekicha take place. Now let me just go one step further before we take comments, and that is to say, well, okay, if that's so, that we understand that there needs to be more than the act of a kinyan, that together with a kinyan there needs to be an amiro, as the Brisa says on Daf Hey and Rashi brings here, and that amiro is a gzeres hakosuf, says Reboruch Be'er, based on kiyikach ish isho. But where do we see that in the words of kiyikach? What does that mean? Where do we see in kiyikach ish isho any intention? I understand that lekicho means acquisition, and we learn from Sadei Ephron that it's a kinyan kesef. All that is understood, and we'll get into that in greater depth in the Gemara. But where do we see in kiyikach ish isho any suggestion that there has to be the articulation, some verbal articulation, some oral articulation? Where do we see that? And I was wondering whether one can't learn that from the very meaning of the word kicho. I haven't seen this anywhere, but there might be something in it, because you'll know many times in the Torah where it uses the word lokach, the Rashi brings from
Rabbi Lapin.
Yes,
Ephraim Shor. Don't we have where where it says that you want to take a person? It uses the lashon yikach to mean words.
Exactly right, Ephraim. That's exactly what I'm about to say. That we have so many examples right in the beginning of the Chumash where it says Hashem took Adam and put him in Gan Eden. And we have many cases in the Chumash where lokach means lekochoi bidvorim, Rashi says. He used words to take him. When you want to take another person, we even use that in English, don't we? If we say, I've been taken, what does that mean? Somebody with a smooth mouth has used the art of speech to take me, to take my mind, to persuade me. So we do have cases in the Torah where lekicho means not only a transaction, but where lekicho means persuasion. And I'm wondering whether in kiyikach we don't have two things taking place simultaneously. We have the transaction. Here is a ring. Here's something under the chuppah. Here's the kesef. Hare at mekudeshesli betabazu or bekesef zeh. You are mekudeshes. That's the act of persuasion. You are the only one for me. You are set aside. You are mekudeshes for me. So that it's not merely her giving herself for a pruta, or her giving herself for a golden ring. It's her giving herself to the man who wants her to be his only one. That's really what it is. That's what ki yikach means. So that embedded in the wording of the posuk of ki yikach ish isho, we have in that word lekicho two ideas. We have an idea of transaction, and we have an idea of amiro. And that's the gzeres hakosuf that the Brisa refers to on Daf Hey. That noson hu the omar hu, he has to give and he has to say. He has to use words, and very clear words, and he has to give something, he has to perform an act of generosity, and the combination of the gift and the note, the card that comes with the gift, the word, the intention that comes with the gift that's beautifully articulated, together that enables the woman to release her freedom to choose who to marry and to now restrict herself to that particular baal. So I think that for the first year we're going to leave it here just as an introduction. And then I'm going to ask if there are any questions or comments. If you just mention your name and then go ahead with your comments. People who are listening on the web can either listen to the discussion or turn off at this point, because this is where we'll pick up from next Sunday, Mitzvah Hashem. And also, if you would like to send me any comments, either about the format or the style or the speed or any of the content, please feel free to do that by email between now and the...